20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for being here. Hope your Friday's going amazing. Hope you had a safe and happy 4th of July. Believe it or not, we are 9 short weeks away from Packers-Eagles in Brazil. As I always say, it's going to be here before you know it, but it's not here quite yet. We still have a ton to get to. Training camp's going to be here in just a couple weeks. Like, it is all going to happen so freaking fast. But today, we are going to be talking about sort of the what if things don't go according to plan from an injury standpoint. They always say, you know, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. Well, today we are going to prepare the Packers for the worst, or more importantly, look at what happens if the Packers do have significant injuries through the course of the year. Is there still a path for success? Let's not forget 2010, when the Packers had a ton of injuries and still found their way on the path to the Super Bowl. And there can be other times where you lose a David Bakhtiari right before the start of the playoffs, and that can certainly derail you. So we'll kind of go through these different scenarios and see, does Green Bay have the depth? Do they have the resources? Do they have what they need to get through some situations if they do, in fact, have some unfortunate injuries through the course of the season? Before we get there, quick shout out to Steven Reut for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate you, Steven. Make sure you check those Pack-A-Day Podcast memberships out. Even if you don't look at the memberships, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Those things are always super helpful, but you're going to want to check out the memberships as well. Also, always want to give a shout out to Cheesehead TV and Packer Report. They are huge friends of the show. They allow us to post the show there every single day. So make sure you are checking out both Cheesehead TV and Packer Report for all your Packers news as well. All right, let's get into some injuries and what happens if the Packers have some unfortunate injuries through the course of the season. And there's no better and or worse place to start, depending on how you want to look at it, than with Jordan Love. And this always harkens me back to one of the greatest football quotes in the history of the world. All right, Tom Moore, the then offensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts at the time when they had Peyton Manning, was asked why Peyton Manning's backup quarterbacks did not get more reps in practice. And he said, quote, "Fellas, if 18 goes down, we're effed, and we don't practice effed." It's a phenomenal quote. It's 1,000,000,000% true. If they lost Peyton Manning, the Colts were done. There was nothing they were going to do. And for the most part, through the course of the NFL's history, your starting quarterback goes down and you're effed. Now, the Eagles, more recently, have been a great example of maybe not so fast. They lose Carson Wentz, they bring in Nick Foles, and that team still won the Super Bowl. It was maybe improbable. They had a lot of other pieces that helped them along the way. You know, we learned maybe a little bit after the fact that maybe Carson Wentz wasn't quite as good as maybe he looked up until that point. But Nick Foles was able to come in and they were still able to find a way to win a Super Bowl. So while it's rather unlikely, it's not impossible, as proven recently by the Philadelphia Eagles with Nick Foles, of all people, as their quarterback taking over for Carson Wentz. And they still got a Super Bowl out of it. So let's talk about Jordan Love. In this case, I think we're in the Indianapolis Colts timeline. I don't think there's a, you know, Eagles scenario for Green Bay if Jordan Love goes down. They're probably effed, if we're being honest. Now, it doesn't mean that that's the way they go about it. I'll say that for sure. I don't think Matt LaFleur is going to come in the next day and say, like, yep, we're playing for draft picks at this point. No, I guarantee you everyone in that organization from top to bottom is going to try to find a way that they can still salvage the season and try to make a push towards and through the playoffs. So what are your options if Jordan Love does go down? Well, if it happened now, which again, let's just get this out of the way right now. We are not trying to speak any of this into existence, all right? If anyone's superstitious or whatever, go grab your lucky rabbit's foot. You can mute me the rest of the episode and we can move past it. But you guys know me. I'm always going to try to be realistic. You know, through the course of this season, there are going to be injuries. It is, like I've talked about in the past, it is a roulette wheel. And there are, you know, 53 different numbers on that roulette wheel. and you're just hoping it doesn't come up 10 or 23 or 52 or, you know, whatever. You're hoping that the injury roulette wheel does not fall on your key players. And we've seen it happen. And one of two things can happen to teams. One, you have too many big issues or big injuries to too many key players. You know, you lose Tom Brady for a season in his prime. Yeah, Matt Castle can come in and do a decent job. And they won, I think, double-digit games that year. They still didn't make the playoffs. And even if they did, there was going to be a ceiling as to what they were going to be able to accomplish. That's just kind of how it goes in the league. You know, you have those big time catastrophic injuries and your season's probably just going to end. Or maybe you don't have the catastrophic injuries, but you've got 20 of them. You know, if 20 of your top 53 guys are, you know, go out and you're just running on backups upon backups, that's probably going to tank you as well. And we see it just about every year from a couple teams that they just got snake bit by the wrong injury bug. And it completely hamstrings them. They have no opportunity to overcome the unfortunate injury luck that fell upon them through the course of the season. So we're hoping Green Bay doesn't have either of those scenarios, that they don't get completely snake bit where all of a sudden it's, you know, Love and Alexander and Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark who are all out by week six or something. Or you just got, you know, 20 guys that are good to, you know, average players, but they're all out, which leaves you to call up a bunch of players that maybe just aren't ready or, you know, capable of playing at that level. And that takes you out as well. So let's just put those aside. Let's say that there are one or two injuries though. So we'll go kind of back to Jordan Love here. If Jordan Love were to get hurt, if it were to happen today, I would assume Green Bay would maybe be talking to Ryan Tannehill and Ryan Tannehill's agent or something similar. Now there's not a lot of great other free agent options out there. Ryan Tannehill has been a starter in the league for a long time. It's probably giving you a better option to win right now than either Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt are going to give you. Maybe you're not a fan of Ryan Tannehill, or maybe more importantly, maybe the Packers aren't Ryan Tannehill guys. Maybe that's not the direction they want to go in. Of course, they could go with Michael Pratt or Sean Clifford and say, hey, let's see what we got here. And maybe we can stumble upon something amazing or at least something good. They could look at the trade option, you know, Drew Lock with the Giants. If you're midway through the season, they've got Daniel Jones. They still have Tommy DeVito as a backup option. Yeah, if Drew Lock's not starting at that point, that could be a quarterback that Green Bay could potentially trade for to bring in. And again, give them a better shot maybe than a Clifford or a Michael Pratt to win right now. I'm not saying that there's going to be a perfect scenario here. Maybe it's Jacoby Brissett. Maybe the Patriots have already moved on to Drake May. Maybe it's somebody entirely different. You know, whomever. Maybe it's Davis Mills in the Houston Texans. There could be so many different names. Case Keenum, Joe Flacco. Who knows? The true reality of this is you're probably not going to be in a great situation no matter what. If it's me, I am. I'm going to probably call Ryan Tannehill. He's a free agent. See if you can bring him in. See how quickly he can learn the system and figure it out from there. Do I feel ultra confident that Ryan Tannehill would lead this Packers team into, you know, a Super Bowl? No, I don't feel super great about that. And you can make the argument, and we can have this philosophical discussion of, and this is kind of what the Colts did, of saying, hey, if Peyton Manning goes down, we're bleeped, we're effed. And if you are that, if you're not going to win after that, then it sometimes it's just better to be bad and help your draft stock more than anything else. There's a world in which you bring in a Ryan Tannehill, you go 8-9, and you don't make the playoffs, and now you've got a middling draft pick. Whereas if you just go with a Michael Pratt, maybe you go through the ringer a little bit with Pratt and Clifford, and they don't win much, but you get Jordan Love back next year. This team is basically back in its entirety, and now you've got a top five draft pick on your hands as well. So you can make that argument of, hey, well, you know, I'm not interested in some middling crap. We'll suffer through this season. We'll see if Pratt or Clifford can do anything. In the meantime, we'll win three or four games. We'll pick up a top five draft pick, and now we'll help our team next year. You could certainly have that philosophical discussion, but my gut tells me that this Packers organization is not the let's play for draft picks type of organization. I think they would try to win. And if it were me, I would probably call, like I said, Ryan Tannehill. I'd call around the league too to see what options would be available. Drew Lock in that situation, maybe not the worst scenario in the world. Or again, you go with your two guys that are already on the roster and see what they have. Here's the other thing. Regardless, whether it's Drew Lock or Ryan Tannehill, Michael Pratt, Sean Clifford, you're going to change the dynamic of the team. You're going to change the offense. This is going to have to be a defense first team. No two ways about it. It is now on Jeff Hafley, and the stars on this defense to go out and win games. It's not going to be Jordan Love and the offense that are carrying you. And you need to become a more ball-controlled offense with Josh Jacobs doing the heavy lifting like he did in Vegas. And your special teams not only can't be bottom third of the league, they probably need to be a top 14 special teams, at least probably top 10 if we really want to make noise, you know, kind of going on through the course of the season. So it is going to take everyone else doing a little bit more. And that would be sort of the scenario that you would go through if you lost Jordan Love for any significant period of time, regardless of who the quarterback was. It's got to be Josh Jacobs in this offensive line doing heavy lifting on offense. You've got to set those quarterbacks up for success, which I think Matt LaFleur is capable of with getting those wide receivers open and some easy looks and some run after the catch opportunities for guys like Bo Melton, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, etc. And then I think, again, it is paramount that this is a top 10, top 8, top 5 defense if you want to compete with no Jordan Love. Now, again, hopefully this is not the case. Hopefully Jordan is good to go throughout the course of the season. Or if you do lose him, is it maybe 2, 3, 4 games where you can survive? And that would be Michael Pratt or Sean Clifford at that point. And you, again, change up the style of play and try to get through 4 games 2-2 until Love gets back. That's sort of the name of the game in that sort of situation. But I think those would be your potential options. Again, if it's right now, you probably look towards free agency or the draft, or sorry, free agency or a trade, specifically meaning like a Ryan Tannehill or again, one of the guys that we mentioned. And if it's in midseason and maybe the trade deadline is passed, Ryan Tannehill has already got picked up by somebody. All right, well, you're hoping Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt are able to go, and you try to win as much as you possibly can, but changing the dynamic of the team and the offense and how you're running everything, that's going to be the name of the game once Jordan Love would go down. And for the most part, I'll say it one more time, you're probably just screwed. You're probably just screwed, as is every other NFL team in the entire league, if you have your starting quarterback go down. Now, if you're a bad team without a good quarterback right now, maybe it just doesn't change things all that much, but you probably weren't competing anyway. There are few teams, if any, that are competing right now that I could say, yep, they could lose their starter and still be fine. Like, it just doesn't exist anymore. It is so hard to win with your starting quarterback that without them, it's too difficult, far too difficult. And that would be the situation that Green Bay would most likely find themselves in. Let's talk about Josh Jacobs. What if Green Bay lost Josh Jacobs for a significant period of time? I think, first of all, the Packers are prepared for this in some real capacity because Aaron Jones was out for so much of last year, and they were really counting on Aaron Jones a season ago. This year, they're certainly really counting on Josh Jacobs as well, but they've given themselves some additional outs, and it's not like you're going into this season with unproven players at tight end, wide receiver, and quarterback. This year, you've got second-year Jordan Love. You've got guys like Watson, Reed, Wicks, Dobbs, Melton, etc., and Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, that can help you all over the place. And more importantly, Green Bay's given themselves more outs at the running back position as well by bringing back A.J. Dillon, but also drafting Marshawn Lloyd in the third round. So they're not dependent upon just basically A.J. Dillon when Jones was out. Yes, they had Emmanuel Wilson, but there was also those times where they were trying to bring in like James Robinson and like a variety of different guys. Just nothing ever really stood or stuck out. And I think now with Marshawn Lloyd, you've got a real legitimate option to help out if Josh Jacobs does go down for a significant period of time. You go back to 2010. Remember, they lose Ryan Grant, and now it's up to James Starks, rookie, you know, sixth-round pick who was injured early in the year. He wasn't even healthy until later in the year. You've got John Kuhn that's running the ball. Like, they didn't have anyone. So you can get by without a running back, but I think Green Bay now, certainly even more than last year and more than in recent memory, gives themselves options with Marshawn Lloyd and A.J. Dillon. And I still think, and this is not a cure-all or anything like that, but I do think there's some other guys that you can play in the backfield as a every now and again sort of thing, just to help it out even more. I talked about in my episode the other day that Bo Melton got used in the backfield on a couple different plays against Tampa Bay last year, and he played running back in high school and college. Listen, you're going to have to get creative with all these wide receivers to find ways to get them on the field. If you're missing Josh Jacobs, maybe get Bo Melton back there. Maybe get Jaden Reed back there. Heck, I've talked about this. Maybe you try to get Keyshawn Nixon back there on a couple different plays. And again, I'm not saying any of these guys as full-time running backs. That's not, we're not talking Ty Montgomery situation here. But You know, if you're trying to fill in for Jacobs and you're giving Marshawn Lloyd, you know, maybe 15 snaps, AJ Dillon, maybe 15 snaps, do you do maybe another 3 to 4 with some unique options back there, like a Nixon, a Reed, or a Bo Melton? I think those are potentially options as well. Maybe even Christian Watson. A lot of different things that they could do. I think they could survive a lengthy Josh Jacobs absence if needed. How about the familiar Christian Watson injury? Or maybe it's Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, or Bo Melton, or any of those guys, right? But specifically probably Watson. I think if it's Watson, the big thing here is you're going to have to be a little bit more creative and, you know, sort of focused on getting guys like Reed, Wicks, and Melton open downfield. So you still have that stretch the field mentality where teams have to honor you for the deep ball. Because Watson does such a great job of attracting defenders when he goes down the field, because teams are aware and understanding of the speed and playmaking ability he has down the field. Can they survive it? Sure. They survived a bunch of Christian Watson injuries over the past couple of years. You'd certainly like him out on the field, but they can survive it. And the same goes for if they lose Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, or any of those wide receivers. The reason being, they've got a lot of them. They've got more depth at wide receiver than any other team in the league. And if Watson goes down, do I think they can survive with Doubs, Wicks, Reed, Melton, Malik Heath, and then still Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave and Josh Jacobs at running back? Yeah, absolutely. You can take any wide receiver off this team, and this team still is an embarrassment of riches of playmakers all over the team. So that's an easier one. I do think Christian Watson's the one that changes it a little bit more, because again, you don't have a true Christian Watson. Other guys, I think you can fill in a little bit more with some of the wide receivers you already have on the roster. But Watson's, I think, the harder one to replace. And unfortunately, he's been the guy that gets hurt a little bit more often as well. So that's going to be the one to really kind of keep an eye on. He would be the toughest, I think, to kind of replace. But I have no doubt whatsoever that regardless of any wider, you know, any one or maybe even two wide receivers going down, they have plenty of playmakers on this team to make up for it if they need to at any point during the season. And then you have tight ends. This is, again, something that they're well-versed in, well-prepared for. If either Luke Musgrave or Tucker Kraft goes down, they're okay. They were basically without Tucker Kraft for the first half of the season just because he wasn't ready. And then they were without Luke Musgrave for a significant period of time. And what happened? Well, it was Musgrave and Ben Sims or Kraft and Ben Sims. And that was more than workable. I still think, as I've talked about before, I think Ben Sims has a lot more to give to this team. I think he can be more of a receiving tight end than what he's had the opportunity to show. That's what he did well in college. I think he can even get better as a blocker. I think Ben Sims projects to me as a true number two tight end sooner rather than later. So can you get by without one of those guys? Yes. Do you want it? No. I want Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. I want to see a lot of two tight end sets. I think both of those guys can be incredible together and play off one another beautifully. But if they need to go Musgrave and Sims, cool. They can survive that easy. If they need to go Kraft and Sims, same freaking thing. I think the beautiful thing is you do have a Kraft and a Sims where you have two number one tight ends, in my opinion. And then again, Ben Sims to me can be a number two. No concern about that either. Tyler Davis can then step in as your three if he's still on the roster, or you call someone else up or pick someone up, and it's probably not going to be the end of the world. So they can easily survive either of those injuries if need be. How about offensive line? Clearly the two here that you really don't want to lose are Zach Tom or Elgton Jenkins. I think this probably is the most self-explanatory of any of these. If you lose either of them, you still have five guys. If it's, let's say there's no Zach Tom, all right, you probably have Rashid Walker still at left tackle, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, and you probably got Jordan Morgan as your right tackle. If you lose Elgton Jenkins, again, you might need to move some people around, or it might just be Jordan Morgan at left guard. Meaning you still got Rashid Walker at left tackle, Jordan Morgan left guard, Josh Myers at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle. You still have five potential starters, assuming that Jordan Morgan's able to come in and play well. After that, if you're down a couple offensive linemen, that makes it a lot harder. And certainly you don't want to lose Jenkins and Tom at the same time. That, I think, would be the big catastrophic thing. But if they lose one of those guys, they should theoretically have the depth. Now, having the depth and being able to replace your best guys is something totally different. Talked about this before in the past too. For the offensive line, I view it as a five-man rotation in baseball for your starting pitchers. You need your ace. You need a true number two. and your three, and then your four and five can be like solid guys, 4.5, 4.9 ERA guys. Don't have to be Cy Young Award winners. They just need to be solid starters that can give you innings, right? That to me is how I view the offensive line. You have to have your ace, you have to have your number two, and then you have to have a solid number three, and then two guys that you're okay with. They're just going to eat some snaps. You're not going to win because of them. You're not going to lose because of them. That's fine. You just need those guys. And to me, Zach Tom, to me, is going to be the ace. Elgton Jenkins is your beautiful number two and guy who can step up as your ace if something goes wrong with your number one. To me, your number three is Rashid Walker. Now, he still has a little bit more to prove, but I'm cool with that. I like Rashid a lot. Number four is probably your, let's just say, Josh Myers-ish, which is, again, just eating snaps. Number five, Sean Ryan or Jordan Morgan. Again, you're good there. What happens is if you lose Zach Tom, now you have that ace that's gone. And yeah, Elgton Jenkins can fill in there, but now Rashid Walker is your second best. That doesn't feel as good as your number two guy. Or again, even if you still have Zach Tom in there, now Elgton Jenkins is gone. Again, Rashid's now your two. Josh Myers is now your three. And now you've got four and five guys in Sean Ryan and Jordan Moore. It waters down the entire rest of the line because you're missing one of your top two guys. So they can get by with it. They have the depth overall, but you really don't want to lose either of those guys because it does make your entire offensive line worse because those are the two guys that really make it go at a much, much higher level. On the defensive side of the ball, let's start with Kenny Clark. Yeah, I think if Kenny Clark goes down, this is one of the really tough ones to fill in. Now, you've got TJ Slayton. That's great. TJ Slayton can be your primary run defender and sort of run stopper on that defensive line for them. You still have Kenny Clark, It'd be nice if you had Kenny Clark. You still have Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, and Devontae Wyatt that can play next to Slate. Like, you still have four legitimate defensive tackles on the team, which is great. But none of them are Kenny Clark, period, end of story. And certainly none of them run defend like Kenny Clark and have also that pass rushing ability. So you're going to have to sort of fill this in. Now, you maybe bring up a Jonathan Ford, and Slayton and Ford fill that run stopping role. You still have Brooks and Wyatt filling that pass rushing role. And again, Wooden maybe rotating around. But if, let's say, Clark's playing 50 snaps a game, having to have TJ Slayton play that and then Jonathan Ford or somebody take on those TJ Slayton snaps, again, it's just kind of watering down the interior defensive line. And I know that this is going to be more of a gap penetrating defensive line where guys are trying to get upfield. Well, one, Kenny can, he can still do that. And number two, at some point you have to have guys that can just hold up at the point of attack against the run and kind of keep guys free from your linebackers. So that's going to have to be a piece of your team, and losing Kenny Clark, who's the best at it, is definitely going to be a big time blow. Do they have some of the depth and the rotational pieces to make it work for a period of time? Yes. Do I think they could get through it even in a playoff scenario if they played perfectly? Absolutely. But you're going to have to cover for that, I think, more than some of the other injuries on the team. And if it happens before the trade deadline, I think that would be one of the situations. There's not any defensive tackles on the market that are going to fill in that scenario. You're better off probably just calling up guys from the practice squad. But you're going to have to maybe make those phone calls, see if there's somebody that you can trade for. Or you might just need to even lean into a little bit more, saying, hey, we're going to be an undersized defensive front. We're going to get up the field. We're going to penetrate. We're going to get in the backfield, and we're going to cause chaos. And that might be, more Devontae Wyatt and Carl Brooks together, and teams might try to run at you, and these guys might not hold up quite as well. You might be a little bit worse at run defense, but if you're going to try to get upfield, you're hoping, hey, maybe we can get a couple 2 or 3 yard losses in there as well, and maybe that can set them back enough. But how you cover for a loss of Kenny Clark would, I think, be one of the toughest ones to try to overcome on this entire team. At edge, Rashawn Gary. It's one of those situations too. You're just going to need a bit more from everyone. I think LVN is the obvious answer here. He has to take that Rashawn Gary career trajectory and move it up a couple years, or at least as much as possible to become that guy sooner rather than later. Listen, you have the depth. You have LVN. You have Preston Smith. You have Kingsley Enagbare. You maybe still have a Brenton Cox. Like that to me is still a solid four-man group that you can rotate around. I don't have a massive concern of they just don't have good edge rushers. No, they have good edge rushers. But when you lose your best and you lose that pass rush ability from Rashawn Gary, it takes everyone stepping up a little bit. Preston's got to be a little bit better as a pass rusher. LVN needs to be a little bit better. Enagbare needs to be a little bit better. And then your interior guys are going to have to be better too. Clark needs to step up. Wyatt and Brooks need to step up. It takes everyone pass rushing just a tad better to make up for the loss of Rashawn Gary, who really projects as the best guy rushing the passer on your entire team. And then, of course, he still has the physicality to set the edge. That's where LVN is so important, because he has that same sort of play mentality of converting speed to power, great physical athletic body, and the ability to rush the passer and set the edge. So that's where LVN becomes so freaking important. So I do think they have an answer on the team and they still have enough depth, but that is going to be paramount that LVN steps up huge in that type of situation. And like I said, the interior guys, it's not just the edge rushers who have to pass rush better. It's going to be asking a little bit more from Wyatt, Clark, and Colby Wood and Carl Brooks, those sort of guys as well. Jaire Alexander, it's another big one. And it's huge because this is not your Joe Barry defense. You need a corner and a group of corners that can play, you know, press man coverage on the outside or just man coverage or a variety of different coverages that whatever Jeff Hafley wants to call. But if you want to play man, especially if you want to play press man, listen, every team's got a really good wide receiver and you need a guy like Jaire that's going to go out there and be able to match up with them, go toe to toe with any wide receiver that you're going to face, whether it's a Justin Jefferson or whomever, right? Brandon Ayuk, they have a lot of talented receivers they're going to see throughout the course of the season. DJ Moore in Chicago. You need a Jaire Alexander. If Jaire goes down, again, you still have depth. You have Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes who can start on the outside. Keyshawn in the slot. You still have Corey Ballantyne, Kalen King. Robert Rochelle maybe is your sixth in that instance. You have depth at the position, but you're missing your ace. You're missing your go-to guy. And that's what's really going to change things, because now all of a sudden, if you've got to have Eric Stokes or Carrington Valentine going up against team's number one wide receivers, it changes the dynamic a ton. So you better make sure your pass rush gets there, or you better make sure you have safety help over the top, or you might need to double some guys. It changes everything, because Jaire has the ability to be that guy that, oh, you've got Justin Jefferson. Okay, Justin's still going to beat Jaire on a couple different plays throughout the course of the game, but Jaire's going to get his too, and we can match up and we can live with that. It's probably not the same if it's Eric Stokes or Carrington Valentine. So that would be a pretty big loss. But again, the depth there is important. Corey Ballantyne stepped up big a season ago when Green Bay had injuries at corner. So I think they can get by with it, but it's still going to take a whole group effort from that entire secondary. McKinney's going to have to be better. Bullard's going to have to be better to cover up for maybe some of the deficiencies of not having Jaire to go against their top wide receiver on the outside. And then that brings us to Xavier McKinney. And this is just going to be a story of, can the rookies get ready? You have Javon Bullard, you've got Evan Williams, you've got Ketan Oladapo, and then you've got Anthony Johnson Jr., who's not a rookie, but he played so sparingly a season ago, it'd still be like he's almost like a rookie starter out there. I do think Bullard and Evan Williams can play well together, and I wouldn't rule out Anthony Johnson Jr. or Ketan Oladapo from taking a step to be starting capable safeties either. And here's the big thing. I think they would still have way more talent in their secondary or in their safety room than they did a season ago. Now, talent's one thing. The ability to play at a high level is another. But I do think they have the talent there. And that's why I say it's just going to be up to these rookies to get up to speed sooner rather than later. Because I think Bullard and Evan Williams can be a good safety duo. I really do. I think Ketan Oladapo and Anthony Johnson Jr. can play a part there as well. But the big things are going to be trying to gain experience and then communication and leadership. Like if you lose Xavier McKinney, you lose a ton of communication and a ton of leadership on the back end of that defense. And that's what's going to be hardest to lose. So those guys are just going to have to step up and be ready sooner rather than later. It's going to be up to that entire secondary coaching staff and really Xavier McKinney even injured to continue to kind of coach those guys through everything, because that would be a huge loss when, again, you're expecting to have this brand new shiny toy in the secondary for Jeff Hafley to use. Now, all of a sudden you lose Xavier McKinney and it is, you know, with no other veteran really at safety on the entire roster, it's going to take some up and coming rookie success to really make up for the loss of Xavier McKinney in that situation. When you kind of put everything together, I think there's four players that would be really, really difficult for this team to lose. Jordan Love obviously goes without saying. I think Xavier McKinney, I think just again, his communication and veteran leadership on the back end and the fact that you're going to probably end up having to go with completely inexperienced players with no McKinney back there, I think changes your secondary a ton. Jair Alexander would be the third. And again, these aren't necessarily in order, but Jair Alexander and your ability to lose the matchup to go one-on-one with teams opposing wide receivers, I think that changes the defense a ton. And then Kenny Clark, there's no free agent guy out there. It's so hard to trade for those type of players. And losing Kenny Clark and what he brings to the table as both a pass rusher and a run defender is just almost impossible to replace. I think everyone else they can get by with. And I think even Jair, McKinney, Clark, they can get by with for a period of time. But to me, the four real catastrophic ones would be Love, McKinney, Clark, and Alexander. So pray and hope that the injury roulette wheel does not land at number 10, 29, 97, or 23. Key guys, again, that we'd have to sort of keep an eye on and hope that you're not getting injured that we talked about today: Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson in the wide receiver group, Musgrave, Kraft, Zach Tom, Elton Jenkins, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, Jair Alexander, and Xavier McKinney, excuse me. The great news is they do have a lot of depth on the team. And I do think because of their depth and overall talent level and how this coaching staff goes about getting these guys ready, I think they can handle injuries. I don't know if they can handle a ton of injuries like 2010. I don't know if they can handle even one catastrophic one like David Bakhtiari was before that playoff session. But I do think they can get by with injuries through the course of the year. I think their depth is going to be one of the strengths of the team. And you just have to really, really hope that they avoid a couple of those really, really important ones like Love, McKinney, Clark, and Alexander. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back here tomorrow with an all new episode. You won't want to miss it. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those reviews, check out those Pack-A-Day podcast YouTube memberships. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members, excuse me, Mo State of Minnesota, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shaver Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Dan Gesford, and Peter Ataka. See you soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.